This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. Crude oil fell today $52 and change a barrel after a government report predicted the biggest monthly increase in U.S. production in about 2 years. You add to that the Saudi Arabian energy minister publicly doubting whether his country is going to keep cutting production as it had promised. And once again, oil becomes the global economic wild card. Oil analyst Robert McNally's book on the topic is called Crude Volatility. Bob, it's good to have you with us.
Good to be here, Kai. Thank you.
Why is oil so different?
You know, think about if the price of beer fell in half, what would happen to consumption? And it would soar. We'd all be, all of us. All right. What happens when the price of oil drops? Are you going to get in your car and drive around in the school parking lot just for the joy of consuming gasoline? No. Hmm. Consumption really doesn't increase that much. And it works the other way, too. If you're in the store and you're hungry and you want to buy chicken, the price of chicken's expensive, you can buy beef. Now, when you have a commodity like oil for which both the supply and the demand really don't respond to price signals, what happens is when you have an imbalance between supply and demand, could be a recession, could be too much drilling, what have you, you see huge price swings. Because to get you to stop driving your car, that oil price has to go way up.
Right. So there's actually there's a line in this book. Prices themselves will not kill demand for oil, but a recession will do so and do it quickly.
Right. You can kill demand in having a growing economy like we did in 2005, 6, 7, or you can kill demand by having a recession. On the other side, when there's too much oil, we see what we saw up to February of last year. Oil had become a wrecking ball through the financial markets. And so it's these wild swings in oil prices. And remember, oil, of course, is the lifeblood of modern civilization that makes boom-bust price cycles unacceptable.
But also inevitable. Right? I mean, since Titusville in Pennsylvania, we've had boom bust.
Except. You're right. Inevitable, but for one thing. Through history, we've seen three groups of producers step in and vanquish oil price volatility through supply control. John D. Rockefeller and Standard Oil, who did this indirectly by monopolizing the refiners, and then Texas and Oklahoma, implemented the most effective, centrally planned, communistic control of any commodity we've ever seen.
All right, so you had John D. Rockefeller with Standard Oil. You had the Texas Railroad Commission, basically, right? Ones that did it. And then you had OPEC, which is the modern sort of reincarnation. The question is, though, is OPEC dead?
You know, OPEC is not dead. They have a beautiful building. I go there. There will always be a forum for having them come and meet. But in terms of OPEC being the swing producer, yes. In the last 10 years, we've needed a swing producer, and we haven't had one. Saudi Arabia was unable, 2008, and unwilling, 2014, to adjust its supply sufficiently to keep oil prices stable. So the Saudis have basically told us we better not need a swing producer because they won't play that role.
One of the things you point out in the book is the speed with which, and I'm talking, you know, 150 years ago now, in back in Titusville and Discovery and all that jazz, how quickly oil became the energy production tool of choice, right? Basically overnight, you say. What is the end of oil going to look like?
I have to confess, I'm on the skeptical end of the range of analysts who believe that we'll see the end of oil, especially in transportation, anytime soon. Mm. And I think the sort of the next rude shock, perhaps, in the oil markets is we will be thirstier for oil for a lot longer than folks hope and expect right now.
Bob McNally, his book is called Crude Volatility. He runs a firm here in D.C. called the Rapid Ann Group. Bob, thanks a lot.
Great being with you, Kai. Thank you.